2.5-3 years, but our Jets finally circled the wagons.
It was an old-fashioned shootout in Western New York. Fitz got the weapons he needs to be the gunslinger we always wanted? Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast.
NYJ Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli. I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question,
we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
NYJ
Couch Scouts.
Welcome, everybody, to the New York Jets Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli. Here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Our newfound weapons are really showing out a little bit right now. A couple big plays by the youngster, Jalen Marshall, and Quincy.
Beast. Oh, my goodness, man. Where did this guy come from?
Nebraska.
Where else did he come from?
4-4-1, 4-4-2.
What round?
Sixth.
How did
all
these...
Who drafted him? Who drafted him? Johnny Idzik, baby.
Yeah, whatever. That's his only good draft. That's his only good draft pick, man.
Lives
like
on.
Everybody else is gone.
I tell you
or
what,
about
man,
to be gone.
I could not be more impressed with the progression of Quincy Enunwa right now. Has this organization finally developed an offensive talent? Have they finally pulled off what the rest of the league has been doing for decades?
I think we finally found it. We had two wide receivers in 100 yards. We had one wide receiver in Quincy who doesn't drop a pass, man, who catches everything. And last year we had a question about his hands. This whole offseason he obviously was practicing catching the ball, and now the ball doesn't leave his hands when it goes into him.
Chris LaPresti actually commented on that and said, I don't want to hear anymore. You can't work on a guy's hands because Quincy's proof of that. And you hit a great point there because it's a guy that's put the work in. I mean, leave it to the Jets to do it the unconventional way and go with two GMs, two head coaches, and I want to say three wide receiver coaches to get him there, but I don't care how he got there. What he's bringing to this offense right now. And you saw it on the opening drive.
I was just about to say that evidence is clear. The first third down.
The depot, the penalties he draws, changes drives. This kid is the weapon that we were saying is Forte that third option. Could a Robbie step in after what Robbie showed out doing in the preseason? Quincy's just, I'm here, I'm legitimate. And I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, and our offense did it, man. 370 yards, 123 yards rushing, 8 for 13 on third down. What do you think about that?
They almost hung 500 on Rex. 500.
Woo!
Now I know the inflated numbers with the way the NFL is now. But man, did I want 500 on Rex when I saw what that final line was? And did I want Quincy? He went down what I believe it was 92 yards in the game. And it was in the third quarter. We would have had 300-yard receivers, 100-yard back. When was the last time you've heard that in the NFL? When have you ever heard that with our Jets?
I haven't. Not with the Jets, at least. Definitely not with the Jets.
I was looking at it, and I'm like, get him one more. But in reality, at that point, when he came back in after toughing it out and then having to go back out of the game, when he came back in, the game was pretty much in hand, and it was smart to sit him. It was smart to get off that pedal. But speaking of him coming back in the game, we dodged 250 cal bullets.
I was sweating bullets
Brandon
when I
Marshall
saw that.
And James Carpenter on Thursday.
And the same play. On the same play.
Yeah. And the guy who I'm looking at, like, I can see him coming back in is Carpenter. Because you figure tough guy, big old lineman. I didn't look at it like it was one of those. He's out of the game. I thought Brandon Marshall's season, potentially the Jets season, and potentially Brandon Marshall's career was over.
I'm watching the game with David Schwendeman, co-founder of the NYJ Couch Scouts, and he turns to me and says, our season's over. Right away.
I couldn't even celebrate for it. Call it selfish or not, I don't know how to really look at it, but Forte goes in for six, and my boy puts the palm up, and he's excited because Giant fan, but I had to play against Matt Forte in fantasy, so no damper there. I could really care less. Just little caveat to the story. He puts his hand up, though, and I could hardly give him a pound. And I'm talking 10, 15 minutes later about, man, that's ACL. That's ACL. And dodged it. I seen him come back out. I was like that kid in the candy store. I was ear to ear. I celebrated Forte's touchdown late. It was just so relieving. And I loved, there's no doubt in my mind, I loved that Fitz knew that was the only place he was going with the ball. To gloveless Brandon Marshall. And then he throws the shoulder into him, gets up. That was a little bit of a Willis Reed type of moment. And it's so over-exaggeratory, but it's true. That was a Willis Reed type of moment for this Jets team, I think, on Thursday.
It was evident that exactly what Fitz said after the game, Brandon is one of the toughest guys he knows on the team. And that proved it right there, that to have his knee bent down, we saw it. It was gruesome. It was nasty. Back. And him to step out for a couple plays and come right back in and ready to play.
And he jogged out smooth.
It was great.
Now, old school football, any given Sunday football, Varsity Blues, he took a shot, was ready to go. I really hope it's not the case. I doubt a guy like him is doing that. I don't really see it being abandoned from the league, but I doubt that goes on as prevalent as it used to. But when I seen him come out smooth like that, and my boy saying, third quarter he'll be back in, Mikey Brock. Third quarter he said he'll be back in. I said, dude, no. Seen him come out that quick, and it was such a blast of wind to my sails. It really was.
It was amazing. I want to also talk about how Fitzpatrick, man, distributed the ball. 6 receptions for Eric Decker, 6 receptions for Quincy, 6 receptions for Brandon Marshall. That's great distributing the ball to his wide receivers, especially the receivers that need the ball in their hands.
Love where you went there, and it's what makes an offense hum. It's what gives you the ability to have the third down ratio you talked about. Let's talk about Fitz's completion percentage for this game, because he's caught a lot of heat for that. Not only overall, but against Rex, he was sub 50%. And he came out, I believe he was close
24
for 34. Yeah, close to. I mean, he had the type of game that other quarterbacks around the league, you switch out that nameplate on the back of the jersey, and it's, oh, man, Stafford, Rodgers. He had one of those type of games numbers-wise. Now, I know he only threw for the one touchdown to Decker, but where I want to spin this to, 30 carries for Matt Forte. Now, he got in 3 times. So that's how you put up the total we put up. And Fitz only got it in the end zone once. But the more important number in talking with Fitz is the 0 turnovers. That's the key with Fitz.
That's what I'm looking for every game.
When he's pushing the ball down the field like you saw to Decker, to Marshall, Jalen, and Brandon, to Q, we become a different offense, because now they can't step up on Forte. And everybody knows the New York Jets, kind of historically, want to run the ball. Now we can be that offense. Come on up in the box. Watch what I'm going to do to you over the top.
Talking about running the ball, man, I think 30 carries is a lot, especially when we have a guy like Bilal Powell behind him. Where the heck is Bilal? I'm not complaining. We got the W. But where is Bilal Powell, man?
We floated out the theory that blah, pow, is going to be featured in this game. And that was the reason for the lack of touches week 1. But it wound up not being the case at all. Forte looked like the game plan and the Matt Forte of week 1 in week 2. And you're now looking at roughly, what, 54, 55 carries? Now you're sitting somewhere in the mid-50s in terms of carries for a back that we've talked about his age. And we have a very talented weapon behind him.
And like you alluded to before, it was a short week, so we expected Bilal to get the carries more, especially Forte needs a couple more days to recover. Maybe he would get a little bit less of the work. But he didn't get any of that. He got more work. He got more work than week 1 in a short week. I'm nervous that we're gonna run burn this guy into the ground. We're going to burn him out, and he's going to be injured or something, and then Bilal Powell's not going to be fresh and ready because he's not getting the ball.
We're 2 weeks into the season, so I can't be ready to jump off the roof like you sound right now with it. But why give him the money you gave him and sink the assets in terms of cap room into the running back position, in 2 guys like Forte and Powell, and then not use them as a tandem. Now, we've come away with the W here. I can't bitch and moan about the game plan because you threw up a gaudy number on the scoreboard. But we are talking about a longer-term view, and I couldn't be more on board with you. You burn out Forte. You risk yourself getting into a situation you got into last year where not only your starter in Chris Ivory at the time was unavailable when we needed him, the backup was unavailable also because we were running into situations where we had one real back. One back that we wanted to feature in a game plan that was ready and suited up for a game because of mismanagement. It can't happen if we're going to be the team we hope to be this year.
And realistically, we only have two good backs that we want out there. We don't have a third back out there that we really want to touch the ball.
We don't know anything about Troy Maine-Pope.
Exactly.
We know nothing about him.
We really don't want him out there in the middle of the season or at the beginning of the season. We want Bilal Powell and Matt Forte, and we want them equally getting the carries, especially if Matt Forte is going to get most of the workload.
Oh, I don't care if they're even equally getting carries. I don't care if they're splitting. I'd like to see him in the backfield together, but I don't care if they're splitting snaps out wide. It don't matter to me if it's Forte with a couple more or Powell with a couple more. I think the way we should be featuring them as one should be X number. 25, 30 touches between the both of them. Maximize them. On the other hand, Forte's a workhorse. It's what he's known for. It's what the boy's nickname is.
Yep.
So he's that type of Eddie George and Curtis Martin because to me, that's who he reminded me of the other night. And that's what his stat line was. 30 for 103 scores was Curtis.
And just like what Curtis used to do, fall forward for extra yards, always knows how to get that extra yard
and
or
by
two.
By the fourth quarter, Boy Wonder was making a miss in a phone booth and walking in from 12, 13 out to ice a game.
Loved it.
It was a beautiful, beautiful sight to see. The offensive line. Gotta give credit where credit's due. The offensive line, a lot of people look at that and, oh, Fitz had to step up a lot. Yeah, that's part of playing the quarterback position. Climb the ladder, climb the pocket, find your lane and deliver. And I thought Clady did a hell of a job. I thought whoever you want to pick out at right tackle, I wish the coaching staff would pick one, did a decent enough job to where it wasn't a sore thumb and this unit was humming.
We cannot do this all season. If Breno's not coming back, we cannot keep splitting snaps with the two right tackles. I don't think that helps the offensive line camaraderie at all.
I brought it up, cohesion, the most important part of that unit. You always hear talking about an offensive line gelling. It's legitimate. You gotta be working in unison, but don't get so hung up on if Breno's not coming back. Worry about that. Week 7, heading into week 8, and then start getting that feeling because he can't come back.
Okay,
right
in
now.
Week 8, is Elijahna and Quale splitting snaps still?
That's exactly where I was going next. I was letting you have the mic there. If this is still going on in week 6, week 7, then it is obnoxious at that point because you can't look at it in terms of being a predictable offense. You can't look at it like, oh, well, you know, Elijahna's better in pass pro. But Quale is road grading people at right tackle. So we'll just rotate him and kind of on running type position. You can't say
what
that.
What is the defensive coach on the other side
exactly.
thinking?
Exactly. So you can't look at it just in terms of pass pro versus run blocking. You have to be able to pick the better ball player by now. I said last week, it's been 5.5, 6 weeks. How does our coaching staff not know who's better for this offense? And I'm not trying to make it come across like I'm knocking them, but how does this coaching staff not know who's the better tackle for this offense?
Do you know?
No. I'm not paid to know. I know who I want to see out there, and I've said it time and time again. I want to give Brent Quale the floor right now. I want to give him the spotlight and see how he holds up because I don't think... Now the third year of this project, I don't think he's going to be embarrassing. I don't think he's going to look bad enough to where it's how did the Jets throw out Brent Quale in a season that they think they're going to have. I think he legitimately has a chance to be that guy that give him an opportunity, he's going to run with it. Is he going to be a perennial Pro Bowler? Nobody knows that. I wouldn't even go that far. But can you get a solid Austin Howard out of Brent Quale? I truly think so.
I think Ben's playing better, though. I truly do. I think that when you watch both those guys in the game, you see Ben have less mistakes than Brent does.
Fine by me. Go with him, then. Just make a decision and let it ride. Because then you can possibly put yourself in a position, what if this is Ajalana's opportunity? What if Ben runs with it if given the opportunity? Now, you can keep that line together. Let's get Gaudy. Let's rip off a couple. Let's get the 4-2 in this O-line moving people. Breno can come back, and Breno's a hell of an insurance policy. But you just might have got Wally pipped because you don't mess with a line that would be moving the way they'd be moving at that point. You're not giving yourself the ability to get there by rotating right tackles right now.
Yeah, I hope they make a decision by this week and one guy is out there the whole game. There's another thing I wanted to speak about the offense real quick. Fitzpatrick had 11 yards a throw. With a Chan Gailey's offense, usually it's behind the ball, behind the line and
you
all that.
About he was that
throwing
just last week?
And we were throwing the ball down the field on Thursday. It was great to see.
And look at what we were able to do. That was more chunk plays that I've seen come out of this offense than I can remember in full years recently. They were pushing the ball down the field, and you got guys like Decker literally running by people. That contract is looking sweet right now, by the way. Just to drop that in there again.
Headbutton fans.
You got, yeah, man. Decker's just ready to rock this year. Q work in the seam. Jalen Marshall to me, I give Todd Bowles so much credit for this, and I put it on Bowles and I put it on Gailey. That was a fluke fumble. Quite convenient for me to say for him and protecting him, some will look like. But that was legitimately a fluke fumble. I mean, just the way his body's contorted. You see on the super slow-mo and zoomed in, the DB's got his arm up, not purposely keeping the elbow up, but it's what happened. The knee twist stays up, and bang, he gets hit, brought back to the house. He made a big play on the next drive. He made a big play on, I believe it was 3rd and 8. Down in our own deep in our own territory, made a big first down, picked up a couple extra after the catch, and then that catch on the goal line was dynamite. And I commend Bowles for sticking with a young guy after a huge mistake on a big stage, because he was out there for the ensuing kickoff and the ensuing punt return after we stopped
him. I do agree that it was fluky, that fumble, but I do truly think that that's going to be Jalen's one issue, is holding on to the football.
Reasoning for that?
I just think he doesn't look safe with it, especially when he's doing punt return and he's doing kickoff return. He doesn't look safe with the rock. He's flailing all over the place. Not saying that he's going to have
a... I got you.
I just think that's going to be one of his issues. That's going to be one of his issues this year or coming up. Are you not surprised that we haven't seen Roddy Anderson at all?
Yes and no. I want to say I'm surprised, but I said it to you. Jalen said, I don't remember who the interview was with now at the time, I'm in every 4 wide receiver set this team has. So you look at Brandon, you look at Decker, you look at Q, you look at Jalen. You know you're keeping Matt Forte in. Because one thing with Forte that you've now noticed over 2 games, he's a smart football player. Chipping on the way out of the backfield. Can pick it up right to left, left to right. Shuffle the feet and get over there.
Yeah, it's an underrated
guy right
there.
You're not taking him out. So there's your 5 options. You got your 5 offensive linemen and your quarterback. How do I get Robbie on the field? Now, I know you'll say packages, but on the other hand, we're using Kellen Davis. Unfortunately. But we're using Kellen Davis. You saw Brandon Bostic out there this week. So now you use a 2 tight end set. You use Q as your move, coming in from the slot, shifting into the backfield. He's your pseudo fullback. You're numbered up there. What are you bringing Robbie Anderson into block for? He's 175 pounds soaking wet. So I can't find a spot for him right now. Where we're going to get to when we break down the Chiefs game, we may find an area for him this week.
I got another question for you. What do we do when Devin Smith comes back? What are we going to do?
I'll worry about that when we get there. And if we're looking the way I was painting a picture for the offensive line, I'm tempted to give Devin Smith the year. And I know it sounds crazy, but are you cutting Sherron Peak for Devin Smith? It's a conversation for another podcast. But are you cutting Sherron Peak for Devin Smith? Because it's the only way it makes sense. And I don't think anybody wants to. And again, where we're going to get for the Chiefs, they're suiting up Sherron Peak and Robbie Anderson right now. They're not even inactive. So these are guys, they're comfortable enough to put on the field to play.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely comfortable.
That says something.
I'm excited to see them out there. I'm ready. Every game, I'm ready for them to see what Robbie has, what Sharon has, and I haven't seen it yet. I've seen a lot of Jalen, and I think the reason for that is because Fitzpatrick has a good connection with him.
Yeah, and that goes to him lighting up training camp and them trusting him early on. He got work with the ones.
And Robbie was on the low end, so he only got to work with Hack and Petty.
On the other hand, though, I'm not willing to say Jets need to work him into the offense. Let the kids grow. We're excited to see them. Luckily, we're not in a position where we have to play them and really see what we got there. Let them grow. As you would say, let them cook. Let them cook.
All right, let's get to this defense.
Let's get to that D. I was just going there.
Do you know who leads this team in tackles?
Yes, I do. Do you know the percentage of plays he's played for this defense?
I do not. Why don't you educate me?
57%. Darren Lee, rookie, undersized, too small for the NFL, hybrid, Darren Lee.
Darren Lee
leads this team in tackles on 57% of the snaps. But what I think gives him the ability to use his God-given traits is what we're doing up front right now. And I'm going to let you go somewhere because I am chomping at the bit to come back at you.
Okay, so what I have to say about this is we had 7 sacks the first game. We lost. We gave up points. We had 7 sacks that game. Obviously, the Bengals' offensive line wasn't as good. But we have an injured Bills line. No left tackle for them. We come out and have no sacks. Aren't you shocked about this? Isn't this a little disturbing, especially how many points we gave up this game?
Who plays that? We talked pre-show, and we're going to get there with the DBs. I put a decent amount on there. As our producer said, we were put in a tough spot with Jalen. You can't look at numbers all the time.
It's not always about the numbers. I
know,
get that.
But hey, you just said we had 7. Now we had 1. My first question to that answer, who plays quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Andy Dalton.
Okay. Yeah, well, Darren Lee split when he lit Tyrod up. But Tyrod plays quarterback for the Bills, right? And Tyrod could get out of the pocket. It's what he did to us last year, week 17, that cost us the playoffs.
He didn't do much of that this game.
Rush, because of rush lanes. Thank you for that little oop, because I'm a yam that home. Rush lanes, my man. We stayed disciplined. We stayed in our lanes. We did what the structure of our defense on third down and second of long was built to do against that quarterback. We kept him in the pocket. And when did he make plays? Greg the Jet Killer Salas. When did he make plays? When we dipped inside and we had him contained and decided to take an inside pass rush. I don't even want to call him out because I don't want to do it. But we decide to take an inside pass rush. We let Tyrod out. Bang, 73, I believe it was, to Greg Salas for 6. Your boy got toasted on that, by the way. I'm not going to call him out either.
No, I wanted to. I was going to call him out. I was going to call him out. The one big mistake I've seen him in the last couple of years make, and that was it right there. And he looked like a step slow, too. He made me upset on that play.
Nah, I hear you, but you know, he was putting in so much effort to try to run him down. He just looked gangly.
Hey,
he looked awkward.
Don't think I'll ever hate on my boy, but he definitely messed that play up. But I just wanted to say, Tyrone Taylor, he was 18 for 30, so a little over 50%, but he had 300 yards, and he was throwing almost 10 yards a play. That's only one left yard for us. Bus. So he had all that time to throw. He had a lot of time to throw, and we were giving it up.
Bus, how'd they put up their first 7? Huh. It was like a 104-yard pass to Marquise Goodwin.
On Revis.
Now we're talking about Salas. So now take those 2 completions out. Take those 2 attempts out. He went 16 for 28 for like $140, $150.
I just felt like he had
Marcus
so much
Williams,
time.
Throw in Marcus Williams' 4th quarter interception on Sammy Watkins, who with a broken foot had a solid yard and a half on Williams, was able to use his makeup speed to get back and make the play that, I don't want to say ice the game because of the situation and how our offense needed to then answer, but put us in a position to ice the game.
It's obvious our secondary is not playing up to par at all. They're not. They're not playing up to par. So in this game, when you had a player had a lot of time to step back and find his reads and everything like that, we didn't have any defensive linemen get a sack on him.
But he didn't have a lot of time. The point of the rush lanes is they were getting in his face but containing. So you can't tell me that you didn't see that pocket collapsing and Tyrod trying to get out and then Tyrod scrambling, either getting caught, getting out, getting nothing, or just going incomplete. But because of discipline, that was honestly followed through to match the game plan. We're able to not put anything up in that scorecard and for me to be satisfied with what we put out on the field. I loved it, man. And I want to see the big strip sack, too. I'm a D lineman, but I loved what we did up front, and I commend those boys for it because they all want their numbers, but they all put team first on Thursday
night. I totally get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. That was great is with the game plan, but I would like to see them get some penetration sometime, especially throughout the game at all. I didn't feel we saw that at all, and I think that the whole game we can't contain the quarterback. We have to go after him, and I don't think we did at all the whole game.
Listen, you're going to have your
I'm not hating on the D-line, man. We got the best D-line in the league.
Not being taken as hate, just you're going to have your views. I'm going to have my views. Overall, I liked the game plan we had coming in. How did you feel getting back to how we teased in and let off? How'd you feel about Darren Lee spying on Tyrod and having a linebacker that DeMario Davis was supposed to be?
I love it because of his speed, man. He can spy on anybody. He can spy, and I think that he's going to be our player that's going to be on that tight end.
You can spy on Tyrod. You can spy on anybody. That's the most athletic quarterback.
Those tight ends that give us fits this year, excuse me, I think that Darren Lee should be all over them. Gronk, when we have Gronk time, Darren Lee should be all over that man. All
right. Listen, you contain a Gronk. You
don't obviously, stop that's, a Gronk. It's 10 weeks away, but.
You contain a Gronk, though. You don't stop him. Yeah, I'm with putting Lee on him. Me, I'm putting Pryor on him. Because I felt we downright out. Well, I can't. I already talked about Brandon LaFell going into week one, but felt we downright out. Played them last year in New England, and the minute Pryor went down, we looked like a different team. You nervous about Pryor right now?
I was just about to get into that. Before the season, I thought Pryor was going to have one of the best years this year as a safety, and I really haven't seen much from him. And one game ago against Cincinnati, he did have a mess up, and it was a score, and I think that I think that he didn't come out as strong as I thought he was going to because I thought we didn't see him in the preseason because he was just going to come out balling. And it looks like all our secondary is just a little step slow to start the season.
It's surprising because it's a unit that came back, as we said, really outside of Crow, and even Crow was in and out of the lineup last year, came back almost fully intact. But I just look at it like it's a little rough to say he made a mistake and gave up six. When you make a mistake on the back end, it is six. And Grandma Mary cooking the lasagna can see that you got beat. When Leonard Williams gets double teamed and doesn't anchor down, we give up eight. And David Harris cleans up for him. When David Harris gets beat underneath and he gives up that 10-yard out to a tight end, Gilchrist comes up. Bang. He's got his back. You get beat on the back end, it's 4-6. So it's rough when you're talking about a Pryor. And he got beat, he gave it up. You're talking about a Darrell Revis. He got beat. You watch these guys and it looks like toast. Because you watch these guys get cooked. It's just the name of the game at that position. And they know that. You know what I mean? That's why you see as much grabbing as you do.
Could people stop saying that Darrell has lost it completely? Please. I don't think anybody in the league is saying, oh, I got Darrell Revis this week. It's going to be a piece of cake.
Are we switching chairs right now?
No one in the league is saying, coming into a Jet game, hey, I'm gonna be okay. I'm going against Darrell. He's getting old and he lost a step. That's not happening. Everybody's preparing against Darrell like they prepare against the best cornerback in the NFL. He's still one of the best top five, top three in your opinion, whatever it is.
Preach!
Exactly. It's unbelievable that people are like, oh, he's getting old, man. Darrell's not Darrell no more. Yeah, he is. He's still got the skills and the technique that he needs. Yeah, he got blown out one-on-one against the fastest guy in the NFL. That doesn't mean you're losing spots on the ranking of cornerback. It's unbelievable.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? It's all I've been trying to say. It really is. You look at a physical freak in Pat Peterson. I said it a couple weeks ago. It's the only person I'm really willing to say, all right, I think I'll give him the nod. Darrell Revis is still there. He's just mortal now. He's not a god anymore. He's still maybe the island. He's always going to be the island. But you can still get away with him on nice matchups. Doing the old school 2009, 2010, you got him. We're going to play 10 on 10. You're still going to be able to pull that off against a handful of receivers in this league.
Most of the receivers in this league.
Where you like the matchup. But otherwise, let's start giving help. Let's start putting him in a position to be successful. And something I heard recently that I really liked, and when you think about it, also to the type of personality and person that he comes across as, almost Kobe-like in passion, in focus, in determination, when they lock in on something. Deion Sanders said he feels Darrelle Revis is Darrelle Revis when he is the island, when he's peeking in the backfield, when he's worried about zone, when he ain't up there bumping and running and just playing natural what he does football is when he's a different player and he's not a different maker.
I've always thought that bringing the zone to his game makes him take a step back a little bit because he is a bump and run. Got to put your hands on the receiver. Got to be up front on the line with him. Follow him all the way. When he starts playing the zone, he's looking around and he's not focused on the receiver. He is just so. I just think that's not his game, and we're gonna lose a little bit out of him if Bowles continues to put him in that zone. Obviously, he has to play zone to be in this defense, and he has to play zone to
I'm not worried about
part of this team.
I just think that's when you're not gonna get
the top Darrelle Revis when he's playing that zone. Just like you just said about Deion, when he's up on the line and he's playing bump and run, that's when you're gonna get the best.
Yeah, but it's not
Darrelle.
Only just bump and run; it's when you tell him he's yours. Focus on him. Look at those highlights when he's playing Dez on 9/11 when we opened up MetLife. The man didn't look anywhere else from the break of the huddle to that ball hitting the ground. He didn't look anywhere else. They stared each other back, but he stared him back to his own huddle and stood out there waiting for him. I mean, it's just, I heard it, I liked it, I wanted to throw it out there. Pretty much how I felt there.
There's one more thing I want to talk about this defense. Is Aaron Henderson losing his job?
That's another one, potentially. And you kind of used the Wally Pipp analogy again, only because he got nicked. But how are you keeping Darren Lee off the field right now?
You can't.
I mean, it's tough. He's going to be exposed. There's going to be plays Darren Lee, as a rookie, is going to miss on. But I just look at Henderson, and I almost feel like it's raw deal, but...
Before the start of the season, we were like, Aaron Henderson looks good. He's looking great. He's filling those holes
raw
now.
Raw deal, but unfortunate circumstance. And you know what? The rookie's taking over.
Hey, man. How about our punter? Still booming punts, man.
How do you
man.
Do that? How do you go? We're over here humming on some linebackers and some D. And you go straight to, I come from the land down under.
I thought we were finished with the D, man. I thought we'd go right on to special teams, man.
Punter. You want to talk about the punter?
You tell me about the punter.
Punters are people, too.
That's right.
Go ahead.
He's doing an amazing job. When's the last time you saw a punter like this? On the Jets.
There
Steve
is.
Weddeford before he got
there
fired?
There it is. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, again, are we spoiled because of the ineptitude we've had at the position?
I think every week we could have a little punter segment.
I'm fine with it. That's why I let you go there.
Unbelievable. I'm so happy we have a guy that's booming and not kicking in the end zone every time.
All right.
Unbelievable.
You got that one out of your system there?
Yeah. Thanks for putting your input in.
Bringing it back up to the big nasties. Bringing it back up to the big nasties here. Sheldon got into a little... little something with a possible Richie Incognito pregame.
Of course, it's got to be Richie.
I know you saw the picture of that squad walking out
deep.
They honestly look like a pride. They really did. They came out all as one, and it's the way they talk. It's what you want to see, not only positional group, but it's what you want to see on this team, and it's what we're kind of growing into. I give the Brandon Marshalls credit for that too, because we've brought it up here, and we were talking roster building. 35, 36 now, whatever the number is, on this team were brought in over the past 2 years by Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles. It's hard from a executive level to a coaching level to trickling that down to the team. Hard to build cohesion that quick and really trust each other. And this team, you look at Decker and Fitz, this team's got a little bit of a family feel going on to it right now.
No, I totally agree. I love how everything is running smooth. Everything looks smooth. You know what I mean? Obviously, except for that secondary is the only thing that doesn't look smooth to me.
They'll tighten it up.
That is the one thing that worries me, is that Pryor's not ready for this season.
He's ready.
I think Gilly is always going to be Gilly. He's going to be the weakest one back there.
Gilly's the one that hung Revis out to dry 2 weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have ups and downs with him. He's not going to be the best. I'm saying he's going to be Gilly, which is going to be not the best secondary guy out there. But not the worst secondary guy out there. Because obviously Marcus Williams, I can't say he's the worst, but he's the youngest and the least inexperienced. You know what I mean?
I won't go there with you. I think Marcus Williams is a baller.
Yeah, better than the other three?
Turn the lights on. No, I'm not saying. I just turn the lights on. Let the kid go out there and play. He ain't going to light it up on the practice field. He gets his hands on the ball, but he ain't going to light it up. Preseason, we talked about the rough summer he had. 2 picks, 2 games. The boy led the team in picks last year. He's on that pace right now. And while we're talking DBs, as long as you don't want to bring it back to maybe Folk, while we're talking DBs, I'm going to swing it to KC. Let's get into week 3, what we see going on, because I got a feeling we're both on the same page here in terms of how we're going to end this show and where we're going to go with it and where we were two and a half weeks ago. So let's get into it. What do you see our wide receivers against Kansas City's defensive backs this week?
I don't think
that's one of their strengths.
I don't think they have a problem. I don't think our wide receivers have a problem for the rest of the season, if you want to talk about it. I think that Brandon Marshall is going to be hopefully in this game. If he's not, I think Quincy is good enough to be the 2, man. I think Quincy is good enough. And I think that Eric is playing out of his mind anyway. So either way, we're not going to have a problem. I think they're going to be open. I think Fitzpatrick is the man this week, has to be the man this week. If we want to be successful, he needs to be on his right reads and hit the open man in stride and not throw it behind them and get them killed like we talked about in week one.
In week one, slinging it last week.
Yep.
Slinging it against Buffalo.
He's got to be accurate.
And he's going to have to bring that, because where I thought you were going to go with it when I was trying to tease their DBs, Marcus Peters playing well is an understatement.
No, he's a beast.
Little bit of a hothead coming out of Washington, but this was a legitimate top 10 pick. Certain circumstances, top 6, top 7, depending on what team you're talking. And this is a guy that fell to the end of the mid-20s, end of the first round, and Kansas City needed a guy like that. You look at Berry and a hot free agent that I still don't understand how they got him to come back, but Ronald Parker. These are 3 guys I saw a stat the other day played 99% of their team's defensive snaps thus far. With the weapons we can now flood the field with, can we thin them out enough where whether a Marshall is playing or not, you can kind of cancel out a Peters? And then let's say Q up the seam can cancel out the safeties. Can a Jalen do work in the short to intermediate this week?
I was just about to go at that, because I think the reason why they're playing all those snaps is because they're obviously up front and their linebackers are not playing as well. So they're the last line of defense, obviously getting all the snaps, getting all the tackles. So we have, I think Quincy, this is a big game for him, because he's going to be in the middle of the field, short game.
Is he healthy?
Quincy?
Is he healthy?
I think he's just fine,
I think,
man.
That rib was broken.
I think he's going to play through it either way.
Oh, you can play through it, but you ain't, no matter how much of a tough guy you are, the ribs right by the lung, all that stuff in there winds up working together at some point.
Every time you breathe, it might hurt. Yeah, I got you.
You're talking a receiver running routes, trying to be crisp in and out of his cuts, then getting lit up by an Eric Berry coming up the seam. It's a tough assignment.
I do think, though, we're going to do it. I think that Quincy and Jalen. Say that again?
Brandon, that is. Do you think Marshall's out there? And where I'm going to be going with it, do you sit Brandon Marshall this week if you're Todd Bowles?
No, I don't sit Brandon Marshall. If he can go, he goes.
Too much
I think
of a must need?
This is a must. This is one of the biggest games on the schedule, in my opinion. I think this is a very important game. It's a hard place to play. I think that we need everything we can get out there this week against Kansas City.
Willing to risk having Marshall at 65 to 70% for the next two and a half, possibly the rest of the season, then to sit him this week, give your boy Robbie Anderson his burn, like I teased we'd get into here in that opportunity, possibly get Sherron Peaks' toes in the water a little bit against a thin cornerback group, and give Marshall the week to get healthy with the extra, let's call it 2 days from us playing on a Thursday night. It's really three. You're talking about a nice 11-day window there to really get that right. They didn't give him an MRI. That's the most encouraging part of the whole thing. And Carpenter, by the way, just to throw this in there, a little sidebar, he's supposed to be starting and playing this week. So the calf strain, he's all right with. The no MRI was big to me because they truly don't feel there is any structural damage in that knee. Let him sit the week is a decent argument and get right.
My thing is that you don't sit him, that at least you put him out there to start. He might not have to play the whole game because, yeah, you're going to need him against the crazy secondary that Seattle has coming up after Kansas City, and we're going to need everything we can get against them. But again, that's home. But away game, I still think you dress Marshall and you put him out there for the beginning of the game, at least the beginning of the game, and then maybe rotate your young guys in there. But I think the start of the game, you show them that, hey, we got Brandon Marshall out here. Go cover that guy so we can get Quincy and Decker open.
Marshall said, give me till Sunday. I need to feel my pregame warm-ups. All I ask coach is give me till Sunday.
He don't want to lose that job.
By saying that, though, I feel like right now you're teetering on that end of not playing. Because your answer is, I told coach, just give me till Sunday. Now, I look at Bowles like the type of composed guy and long-term thinker that he's going to make the right decision. Where my pops went with it, that I loved. And I was a little disappointed that I didn't think of it. You got to suit him up. You got to have him out there like you're saying. But not for early in the game. Not for your first down.
Talk about
down.
Late in the game.
Yeah, you're late in the game. Your two-minute drill, your red zone, your third down.
Either way you want to do it, I think you got to dress him because either way...
He's too much of a decoy.
You're already dressing Sharon, Jalen, and Robbie. So there's no big issue to not dress Brandon to bring another player out in
at
another 6'4", position.
235, with his reputation, with his catch radius, if Marshall's out there... on anything other than one leg, you have to respect him.
Definitely.
So he has to be accounted for. A safety is gonna roll his way.
And it's not like we have another position somewhere that we're like, should we dress this guy? Do we need to bring this guy off if Brandon doesn't come? Yep. We don't need that because we got two guys on the bench who haven't even played yet, who are ready and suited up every week. So you know you got to dress him either way.
All right, so that's an area where I feel like we both kind of look at it. We can take advantage of them there. Can they block us up front? Because now if we can exploit them passing in a passing league, let's get defense. Can they even block us?
I hope that we get more of a pass rush than we did last week. I hope that we're getting the pass rush of Cincinnati. 7 sacks. I'm not expecting 7. I'm expecting 2, 3. I want Smith, the quarterback to be touched.
Alex Smith is a throw-in rhythm, short to intermediate type of quarterback.
He knows how to protect himself.
He doesn't have that arm. And that's where I was going to get up front because you got to get in quick against an Alex Smith, and you can't let him get comfortable.
We got to be batting those balls down.
If you don't get home, get him up.
Yep, that's what we have to do this game because I know Alex is a guy that protects himself. He knows how to protect himself. He knows how not to get touched. He knows how to get the ball out quickly. He's a veteran. You have to get your hands up in this game.
Now, playing in Alex Smith, as we're talking about, with a veteran like Darrell Revis, you can squat on the underneath. Are you putting Revis on Macklin, or are you letting Revis go lock up a Chris Conley and rolling over like we talked about with AJ?
No, I think the rest of the team's got Chris Conley. I think you put Revis on Macklin. I think Macklin can be sneaky, and I think Revis is the perfect player for that.
Any thought of Revis on Kelsey?
No. I think Darren Lee. Put Darren Lee on him, baby.
Okay.
Put Darren Lee on him. Put Darren Lee, Rontez Miles, Calvin Pryor. Put all those guys on Kelsey. But I think Macklin and Revis this week, you have to keep, just like you said with Dez, opening week a couple years ago, he stares him down the whole game. You put him on that island. I think that Macklin and Revis, I think Revis can shut him down, man.
I don't know if Bowles is really going there in terms of giving Revis help and I think you may get what you want, but
Are you saying you're nervous about that?
Listen, Macklin's had a couple ACLs, and he's still got his speed.
No, he's a beast.
I don't think Smith can get him the ball. Where I was going with it is I think Revis can squat on a couple routes and look look like a young pup again maybe this week.
I just think you stick Macklin, you try to shut Macklin down.
You keep poking the bear, he's going to growl. And when he does, it's going to be all right because he's still a ball player, man.
And my thing
Same
is...
Same thing you said.
My thing is that Macklin is really... Them and Kelsey are the two guys. Those are the two guys that are very important to that offense. And if you're shutting out Macklin with Revis, I think that's perfect game plan right there.
Can we stop their run? Do you think Jamal Charles is back?
I think we have no problem stopping the run. And do I think Jamal Charles is back? We'll have to see. You know, Jamal's always been a person that has injuries and problems like that. But either way, whoever's out there, I think we stop the run. Doesn't matter who it is.
Jamal Charles, to me, is a borderline Hall of Fame running back. And I think he can bring a lot to their offense that is sputtering right now. And it's going to be part of the reason I know I'm wavering on my preseason prediction. And I think you are too. But their offense can use a jolt. And that's exactly what Jamal Charles is. But
against our seven-man front? I don't know, man.
It is. Boss Hogg, Big Shell, Stevie Mack, Leo.
Leo, when we just talking about batted balls, I think this is Leo's week right here to get those batted balls. He's that big, big cat. He's that big cat in the front. He's the one that needs to put his hands up this week.
If I'm Jamal Charles, I'm not sure that I'm rushing to come back this week. And let's touch
I'd be scared, Jamal. I'd be scared.
I just brought up Boss Hogg. 4th-and-1? Shady?
Let's pull him back, baby. Let's pull him back, baby.
DeLon Pride up here. Not happening, man. This D is going to be something when all these pieces get tuned up, oiled up, and start moving in unison with each other. I'm telling you, man. Couple weeks, Revis gets right, gets his legs under him. That defensive backfield starts working as one. We get a real rotation, not only on the D-line, but know what Darren Lee is, what's going on with Lorenzo Malden right now. And the unspoken part of this D that is just being just passed over right now. A guy who our coaching staff clearly thought was going to be a 16-game starter and, in my opinion, play almost every down for us, has yet to take the field in rookie third-round pick Jordan Jenkins. I am looking forward to what this kid is going to bring. A little bit of a different dimension from a Catapano. I love Mikey Catapano from Long Island as much as the next Italian from New York does. But Jordan Jenkins is a better ball player. And it's going to be an upgrade.
I'm excited to see what he's got. I think Lorenzo Mullins bring enough. That's that hustler flow over there, man. And he goes at it every time, man. I love to see that on the opposite side. I hope we have two guys crashing down on either side.
I think he's going to really help just shore up that outside and give us a little bit of direction there. Once this defense gets going, though, it's going to be a sight to see. I just hope offensively we can match them enough and take advantage of what they're going to become.
So we both had a loss here, man. We predicted this season a couple weeks ago. We both had a loss here. You still think that? You got a prediction for this week?
I'm going to get there because there's another big reason that we didn't have an exact clarification on what it would be, but no Justin Houston. It's a guy that had 22, 23 sacks 2 years ago.
And now,
no Justin Houston for KC.
That would explain their secondary being so good this year.
And that's huge. How so?
Because you don't got your front seven playing up to par, so you got the last line of defense getting all the play.
Okay. I don't know where you're going with that, because you usually look at it like a pass rush is helping, and they kind of play
no,
off
I'm
each
saying
other.
No, they're getting all
the
tackles.
So.
They're getting all the play.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. I think that defensive backfield would take Justin Houston back in a heartbeat, though.
Oh, definitely. I think the team would be so much better with him.
I think he's a big piece that they're missing, and I think it helps us with the ability to move the ball on them. Derek Johnson is still playing well. You still have the ageless wonder of Tom Bailey.
Penn State.
Penn State's own. Ooh, beat me to it. Penn State coming around the corner. You got D Ford, who I think people in Kansas City is still kind of waiting to become the guy they hope he becomes rushing the passer. I'm telling you, I remember a guy saying it's not who you play, it's when you play him. I like when we're playing Kansas City right now. So, yes, to answer your question, I am changing my prediction. And in a tough, tough place to play, I think Brandon Marshall suits up. I think Jordan Jenkins makes his debut, and I think the New York Jets can steal one here. I'm going to give us a win.
I agree, man. We both had them at a loss, and like I always say, it's where and when you play them. Kansas City.
Oh, you always say that. Are you always just preaching to the... Come on, man.
So Kansas City, one of the hardest plays to play. 4 o'clock, not our time.
Oh, the 1 o'clock. That's right.
It's not a 1 o'clock game. I still have us getting a W, getting back what Cincinnati took from us week one. I think we come out balling. And I think that I'm even going to predict a score here.
Ooh.
I'm saying 24-21, New York Jets.
24-20, a tight one. Three-point folk winning it, or are we holding out there?
You're damn right. That's why he's on the team.
Oh, okay. If I got to give you a score, I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go 21-17. And I think it's a little bit like this Bills game. I think it's one of those where, in the end, the score's a little tighter than it kind of feels like. But I'll go 21-17. No knock on our offense, just it's a tough place to play.
I was just about to say that. We're slinging the rock like we should score 37 each game.
They got talent on the back end, as we just broke down there. I'd like to see if Jamaal Charles comes back. And I hope your prediction's true. And I hope what you think's going to happen with Darren Lee is true. Because I want to see him on Kelce. Because I want to know if we can contain a Gronkowski this year. Steal one back like you just said that we lost from Cincy. Maybe you steal one from New England. Maybe you steal one next week from Seattle. Russell Wilson on the bum ankle. Now we could start to maybe talk division. But we'll get there. Baby steps.
We will.
Let's start with Kansas City, week 3, coming up this weekend. Handle your business. Beat a big boy team. And start to earn some real respect.
Veteran coach, a veteran quarterback. We definitely need to show up this week. I'm excited.
Your lips to God's ears, baby. Because I love it. I love it. That's another week for us here at the Cow Scouts. Want to thank everybody for downloading, for tuning in. As always, you can find us on Podomatic, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jeff fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Cow Scouts. Leave us your comments and your questions, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
I want to give a big shout-out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwenderman. And one more shout-out to you, the Jeff fans out there listening. And as always, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jeff fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.